Hello and welcome to episode 518 of Virgo and the Freak. I'm that bloke from Rugby League Project, Andrew Ferguson. You can find me on Twitter at AndrewRLP. Join me as always is the glorious League Freak. You can also find on Twitter at League Freak. How you going there, mate?
I'm going very well, Andrew Ferguson. How are you?
I'm just breaking up the rhythm of everything just for fun.
I know, I've noticed. It's all right, though. So every so often we all have a day like today.
Yeah, I just skip a beat here, trying to do this bit in a breath.
Yeah.
Just throw it around, see if I can just throw people's ears out a little bit.
Yeah, it's good.
We're like the new metal of podcasting. Okay, I've got to move on from there. That's a fucking bad call. Before we get into any rugby league chat.
Yeah.
Listeners, League Freak is going to apply for a job that I found online. I just think he's got all of the skills required for the job. And there's a few questions on here about it as well. So we're ready to do this application. They can just listen to this podcast and hire you from there because that's all they're going to do.
That sounds like a plan.
Okay, so the Victorian Rugby Union are looking for a CEO.
Nice. Okay, I can learn to drink wine and eat stinky cheese.
That's it, down here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
They're looking for a CEO who will be accountable for providing effective management and leadership for our sport in Victoria.
First of all, not a big fan of accountability, but go on.
Or providing.
Providing is another, yeah, that's another thing.
The successful candidate will be responsible for, they like to say successful a lot here.
Okay.
The successful candidate will be responsible for successfully managing relationships with our board, club members, corporate partners, government, volunteers, and our national sporting body, Rugby Australia.
You can't say successful without saying sucks.
More than once.
Yes.
And fully sucks.
Mm.
Successfully.
Big shout out to all the ladies in St. Helens, by the way.
The successful candidate will ideally have these key competencies and experiences. Just let us know if you can check a few of these.
Okay, we'll go by one, okay?
Yeah. Ability to lead people and teams, ideally within sporting or member organisations?
100%. I watched a documentary about Jonestown the other day and thought I could do that.
That's perfect. Leading or contributing to successful member, participant, or customer-driven organisations?
Well, look, I'm generally not a people person, but I can probably learn to, you know, talk with people.
Or at them, at least. That's probably about it.
Or give them orders. I mean, that's talking to people.
That's exactly right. Commercial acumen with a good understanding of financials and business of sport, commercial relationships, operations, compliance, and risk.
All I'm hearing there is, let's get some fucking Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. We're going to crypto this shit up. Strong collaborative working relationships across stakeholders and strong interpersonal skills.
I do like steak.
That's very handy because that's probably what you'll be having every day for lunch.
Excellent.
Fostering a collaborative and high-performing team.
Man, there's a lot of buzzwords that they're using in this thing. It's like, what the hell, man?
There's a bit to unpack there.
Yeah.
Fostering?
No.
No. Collaborative?
No.
High-performing team.
Well, I don't like the team part. I mean, obviously,
In rugby union administration, there's a high-performing team somewhere.
When they say high, what do they mean?
Probably low.
Okay.
here's one. An interest in rugby with a full stop at the end of rugby.
Oh, well.
Because they knew your reply. They were, you know, we don't want to leave that open.
That's an issue. Yeah, that's a bit of an issue. I do want to see the game destroyed at every level. So that
would interest you, wouldn't it?
That would, yeah. Actually, all you'd have to do is say, steady on, fellas. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. You know what makes this game really good? Mm. If you two blokes in the middle just come off and sat on the bench for a bit.
Yeah, I'd just go in and say, listen, I've got an idea to save some money. We get rid of two players from each team.
Capacity to improve. I mean, we already started that one.
Is that like if you ran on out on the field yourself, you'd improve their team? Like, it's not hard to improve.
Okay, I mean, this is the big one, okay? This is okay. The rugby union administration, like, typical one since day dot. This okay. is the one you need to tick. Okay. Capacity to improve and develop policies, processes, and systems.
The first thing I would do is get every player to sign a stat deck.
Yeah. You need to have at least a bunch of those just on a USB constantly on your in your pocket.
They just people would know me as Deck because I'd be giving them a stat deck all the time. It'd be great.
That's the way to go. Development and execution. Hang on. We're not talking about Vichy France here. Development and execution of strategic initiatives.
Ooh. That sounds like, why don't they just put doing stuff?
Doing the stuff we tell you to do.
Yeah.
Business or sport administration related formal qualifications.
Well, neither of those things have anything to do with rugby union in Australia.
No. And look, you can print off any old piece of paper to make it look formal, can't you?
Yeah, exactly.
I've got some crayons. We can get that done.
Really, formal just means something that has a border around it, doesn't it?
Basically, yeah.
And your name and a border around it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we know that you've got all the boxes checked.
Yeah, that's what she said.
But yeah, but you need some cherries on top to get you across the line to make you want to submit this thing.
Okay.
Benefits include access to matches, including state and internationals.
Ugh.
Oh, that's not enough. Okay, there's more. There's more. On-site gym access.
Aren't they the ones that should be using the gym?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen rugby union players? I love the whole thing about rugby union players. You know what? It's a sport for everyone. That's what I would say too if I was fat.
Salary packaging.
Oh,
employee recognition program.
You don't want to fucking recognize employees and they want raises.
Merchandise.
Nah, I wouldn't be caught for dead in that shit. A mustard disgrace. No, thank you.
This one, look, I know we've struggled so much. How about this one? Flexible work arrangements. What sort of work arrangements would be do they need to have made flexible to get you across the line?
Give me the money, but I don't want to do anything.
I reckon there's some wriggle room there.
Okay.
I reckon they might come to the party, isn't it? Excellent. Travel to major rugby events outside Victoria.
Ooh. I could go to fucking Queensland or Dunedin or like Auckland or fucking Dunedin or Invercargill. Christchurch. Ooh.
And professional development opportunities.
Oh, of course. They want to get you on fucking TAFE or something, doing Certificate 3 in bullshit.
Rugby Victoria actively promotes diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Please.
So
Rugby Union is not big on fucking diversity or inclusion.
They are. Just don't talk about, you know, what makes you diverse.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep that shit to yourself.
Yeah.
This is an odd one. We're committed to provide a safe environment for all people, including children. Are children not people? Why are they being singled out as being different to all people?
They could have said, and dogs.
Including shoes.
Yeah.
So, okay. Applications close in 2 days, mate. So there's three employer questions. So that's just the key criteria you need to get through.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, your application will include the following questions. Which of the following statements best describes your right to work in Australia? And you'll say yes.
Yeah.
How many years experience do you have as a chief executive officer? I mean, you've been CEO of LeagueFreak.com for how many years?
Well, the website started in 2003, so.
21 years as CEO. Yeah. Wow. How many years of people management experience do you have?
What time is it now?
Hey, look, I can go down to staff if you want to have it as like
staff.
6 years or whatever it is.
Genetic.
How long have we been doing this podcast for? I lost track.
I don't know. Is it five?
Something like that. COVID yeah. killed me.
Yeah, COVID. Everything from 2020 to 2023 for me was 6 months.
Do you think that within, I'm going to say some words here that trigger you, okay?
Okay.
Within the NRL era, should we have a COVID era?
No.
Good. Okay. All right. We got that that important business out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty, shall we?
Okay.
What's been going on?
Well, it came out today, and it was from I almost said something that was probably going to get us in legal trouble, but I didn't. James Hooper.
Oh, and, that did.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. He's reported today, just for happy hour, that Mal Meninga is looking set to take over after South Sydney's round six game. As the coach of the club from Jason Demetriou. Now, South's looked terrible so far this season. They've been really bad. And to me, that screams of they've already got the guy lined up for next year. And because we haven't heard of that person, I think it might be Wayne Bennett. Now, I'm not basing that on, you know, we're not the type of people that sit here and go, I've heard mail. I hate those fucking people. It's just a guess. But Wayne Bennett will be available next year. He will hand the reins over to Christian Wolf, who is a former St. Helens coach, so he'll ruin the Dolphins. And I just think that that's probably a done deal. It was done at a very high level. I wouldn't be shocked if Russell Crowe and Wayne Bennett have that on the back burner, and that they've gone to Mal Meninga and said, look, you get to take over a team that's terrible. You do it for the rest of the season. If they stay terrible, no one's going to blame you. We'll give you a whack of money. If you do anything positive, people will say, wow, Mal Meninga did a good job. And it's really, either way, it's not going to ruin Mal Meninga's legacy in any way, shape or form. So, you know, why not do it? And I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think ever since Wayne Bennett made the decision to go to the Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that was his way of saying, this is going to be my last coaching gig for however long it is. I don't think he's got any intention of moving away from Brisbane now. I think he's done all of his travel around Sydney and whatnot, and he's done all this stuff, and he's gone back to Queensland. He's like, yep, I'm just going to finish up here. I don't care what happens and how my time ends. You know, I'm done. He turned 74 at the start of the year.
I thought the same thing. I thought that was kind of him riding off into the sunset. But it is South Sydney. He's got, you know, previous links there. South Sydney tend to aim high for their coaches, and there's really no one available. I don't think that Craig Bellamy could be lured away at this point from Melbourne. And so that's why I think it's going to be Bennett. I can't see it being anyone else. Like, who else is there that's available that you could say is a big-name coach that could be lured away? You know, Ivan Cleary's not leaving Penrith. And it's really him and Bennett and Bellamy.
There is another former South coach out there.
Well, there's fucking 27 of them. Paul Langmack, Craig Coleman, Jason Taylor.
Michael Maguire. I wouldn't say no to that.
I think
the thing that's making me say no to it being Bennett is he likes to go into a club that's moving upwards. So he can go in and not have to deal with too much struggle as he starts his rebuild to what he wants. So he wants to go in there and go, knowing that the team is going to be a top eight side in his first year, and he's just got to improve it from there. That's what he's done with most of the teams he's gone to. And especially at this this part of his career, I don't think he's thinking that I'm going to go to a club and like a new club now from the Dolphins and think to myself, I need to work on a 5-year plan or something to get this club back. I don't think he's thinking that far ahead. I think he's looking at his clock going, if I sign a 5-year deal for this club or even a 3-year deal, I'm going to be 78 when I finish.
Yeah.
Is that where I want to be?
What else is he going to do though?
He doesn't need to do anything else. That's the thing. Do the Dolphins until he gets the replacement set up and just go, yeah, you know what, I'm done now.
But what if – I think Wayne Bennett loves coaching. I think it's just – I mean, he's done it for so long now. It's like it's just what he does with his life,
maybe,
you know.
Maybe he could just go and do like coaching Queensland or Australia, something that's not a full-time gig, but he's still involved and still has to be involved in the game, but not at the week-to-week level. True. I just think – because the reason why I bring that up is because I think the South's roster needs quite an overhaul.
Well, you know when we will hear if they've got someone lined up for next year? We'll hear it when they start looking at players they're approaching for next season, because they'll say, listen, Bennett's coming, you know? And then they'll obviously straight away that'll be in the media because the player managers will leak the news. So we'll find out soon enough. But I just think that they must have the next guy already signed up to decide to bring in Mal Meninga, because I don't think Mal Meninga is a long-term solution. And, you know, he's a very left-field signing. But I think that it's not the worst signing they could have made, considering – and it's not the worst signing they could have made as long as they've got the next guy lined up, I guess.
Should we have a look at some of the prominent players that have got on contract now and who's coming off contract soon?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so they've got Alex Johnson in 2025 is his last contracted year so far.
Okay, that's not bad.
Cameron Murray's signed up till 2028. Campbell Graham, 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Walker and Damian Cook, 2025.
Okay, so they're the two they're going to have to make decisions on.
Yep. Dean Hawkins, Isaiah Tass, Isaac Thompson, they're all off contract at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Whiten and Jai Arrow, 2027.
Shh, man, that Jack Whiten contract.
Oh, it's a noose around the neck.
Yeah.
Jacob Host, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Kalai Matangi, 2026. Elias, 2025. Latrell Mitchell, 2027. Chi Cam, 2024, Marmazelos, 2027, Sean Kepi, 2026, Havili, 2025, Tani Milne and Shaq Mitchell, 2024, Talis Duncan, 2025, Totola, 2028, Tom Burgess, the end of this year. So yes, even though they've got an older roster, they've got a chunk of names already locked in for the next four seasons, which is...
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, and especially like you would like to have had some wiggle room at the end of this year to sign some players, and they're not going to have too much.
Oh, Thomas Burgess actually is leaving at the end of the year anyway. He's going to Huddersfield.
Yeah. But, I mean, you would have loved for Walker to come off contract. I think that maybe it's time for them to look in a new direction. They've got to look, and the problem is that Ilias was the guy they were grooming to be the next halfback. I think he was doing okay, and we've talked about it. We talked about it when Demetrio first took over Souths from Wayne Bennett, and everyone's saying, oh, what a great coach he is, what a great coach he is. And you and me were saying, hang on a second, are we sure about that? And it just seems like a lot of coaches that have, they take over from a pretty good coach, and they're anointed the next big thing. A lot of them, you see the quality of their squad and their play just slowly slip away. And that's the sign that someone's not a good coach. Like there's at no point have they got better. They just keep slowly getting worse and worse. And it's as though all of the influence of the previous coach just slowly drifts away. And yeah, I mean, now you see them this year and they look like they've got an old sort of forward pack. They don't look as fit as they should be, which is a weird one to me. Mm. And just the makeup of their side, like getting Jack Whiten, that was the red flag for me.
Especially on a 4-year deal and he's 31.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, it wasn't a good one for a centre, you know. And if you say, well, he can play fullback, he hasn't played fullback for years now. Oh, well, he can play 5'8". Is he really the 5'8" you really want?
He's not a 5'8".
No.
No. Maybe in 2002 he was a 5'8".
You could get by with him for a little while, but he was never your number one. He was a makeshift 5'8".
That's all he ever was.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of bad contracts.
Yeah.
We do need to talk about Josh Schuster.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many episodes ago would it have been that you and me were blowing up? It must maybe 10 ago where we're like, what are men doing?
Yeah. And
they're already saying to him that he can go and look elsewhere. I had people, because I said what a terrible contract it was and that whoever put it in place, they should all be fired, right? Said that on Twitter. Somebody said on the podcast, point out that whoever signed him to a contract also put in performance clauses. Make sure you bring that up. I'm bringing that up. But I'm telling you, if someone brings that contract to me and says, this is a contract I've offered to Josh Schuster, and I look at it and I say, hang on a second, if he hits these performance clauses, we have to pay him $800,000? And they go, yep. And they say, oh, we're also going to sign the West Tigers halfback to play 5'8". You know?
That's the bit. They signed Luke Brooks like a few weeks after they extended Schuster. So the first thing you're thinking is you're not going to spend a huge, because Luke Brooks wouldn't have been cheap. No matter what you think about his ability, he's a genuine half, and those guys are never cheap.
He was on $1 million+. Let's say he took a 50% cut and is one of the, and it would make him one of the cheaper halves in the league. So let's pretend he's on $500,000, right? Yeah. So they've spent so much money on two guys to play the one position.
Yeah. And one of them has spent most of his career at halfback and the other one had just been moved to the second row.
I never saw anything in Schuster where I was like, oh, this guy. Like, he was a big dude. He never stood out to me as somebody that you thought, oh, he's going to be a pretty good second rower. Or he's going to be a pretty good center, for instance. Or like, I never saw him as a 5'8", ever.
I don't see the difference between him and Curtis Sirenin, other than Sirenin has a bigger frame. And he had better ball skills, but
at least Sirenin, you could say, like, I can see him playing second row.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He did come through the juniors as a 5'8", so he had the ball skills more than anything else. And West Tigers' development fucked him over more than anything else. As I said at the time, like, he should have been moved into the centres shortly after he came into first grade. Because it was abundantly clear with the size of his frame, he wasn't going to play in the halves. It's just nuts. So he was always going to move into the second row, but they needed to do a transition. So let him still have the ball skills. Let him play out wide. That's what center was really good for. And they just chucked him straight on the edge. And the mindset you had got to have to change from, instead of running at the line, like a half will run at the line, but they're running at a gap.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in second row, you're running out of player's shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's only a few inches you're talking about here in difference in your target that you're running at. But it makes a big difference. And it's just little things like that, which Sirenin had to not just transition. He had to learn it while playing first grade, or actually on the field learn it. And so the transition took ages for him to get around to. He came along all right in the end, but there was an easier way to do it, and the Tigers didn't want to do that because they were doing what they always do and panic and struggle and quickly just got to move him and blah, 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 that's what they do. Yeah. Just to show plenty of skill in his debut game. But when you make the decision to move a playmaker into a role that isn't a playmaker role, like the second row, to me, that's an irreversible decision. You can't bring them back to the 5'8 role when you've taught them completely different skill set.
I just never saw 5'8 in him.
I know, but I mean, the thing is that once you moved him there, though, you've got to lock it in. You can't change that.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was
probably a dude that was very big as a junior, and he dominated the game because of his size, and that happens. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But once you get into the higher grades, everyone's big, and even the smaller dudes on the field, they're actually pretty big dudes in real life, and the reason that they can still play when they're smaller is because they'll hit you like a big dude. And I just have never seen anything from Schuster that – it even really stood out that he was going to have a long first grade career. And so I never understood that contract at all. It was crazy to me.
Yeah. And this is the fact they signed Brooks so soon after they extended Schuster, you immediately thought in your head, right, oh, well, they've signed him to be a second rower then, because Brooks was clearly going to play in the halves. Why should you sign him? And, you know, they're not bringing Brooks in to replace DCE. They're not that mad.
No.
So it's clear Brooks is going to be playing in at 5'8", which meant if you've just spent all this money, even with the clauses, to have Schuster in your team, then he must be in the second row. But why are you giving him 5'8" money to be a second rower? How many second rowers are out there that are on 800K a year, even with clauses?
Yeah. And the other thing is too, like, you're investing all that money in a guy who isn't even a good second rower. You know, there's some really good, even at Manly, they've got some good second rowers. That's why he's not in the side, you know. Just a crazy decision. You know, Manly has been a really weirdly run club for quite a long time now. And it's just another thing. And it's, I mean, to be just really a few months into that deal and already be looking to offload him, that's a disaster. And I mean, looking at him, I don't know where you could take him. Like, obviously there are clubs that are just searching for anyone. The Dragons are one, you know, they'll take anyone at the moment. But, you know, I like, even looking at a guy like Schuster, like if you dropped him into the Panthers side for next year, I don't think he makes the Panthers side. I think they've got like three or four dudes that would be better at playing 5'8" than him right now.
Well, that's the thing. The first thing you've got to ask yourself is, right, if other clubs who are looking, you know, who he might be looking at going to, first thing he's got to ask himself is, right, what position do I play?
Yeah.
Because if you're this makeshift between two positions but not a master of either, how are you going to command anyone's interest? Like, exactly. That's the thing. Zach Lomax will be able to pick up a contract anyway a hell of a lot quicker than Josh Schuster will.
Well, look, even Stephen Crichton wanted to go to the Bulldogs as a fullback, and they paid him like a fullback. They paid him $1 million+. But once he got there, they said, we select a team. You're a centre. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a rough proposition to be, you know, Schuster and go to clubs and say, listen, this is the position I want to play. It'd be like, well, you have fun in England.
So that's the thing. I look at him and go, I don't know which club would buy him.
Mm.
Because what position, what role would he have? Where would you put him?
Yeah. I don't, he's not even a utility, you know?
No, he's not. He's, you know, the first thing you think of is, okay, he might be like Tyrone Peachy going, no, Tyrone Peachy is all skill. He's more of a skill player than a fashion barge forward.
Well, yeah, and with Peachy, I mean, I've literally, and I, there's times when Peachy just aggravates me as a Panthers player, but the dude can fill in at halfback, 5'8", hooker, in the, like, at lock and in center. The centers. And I've watched him do it. Right? And he's not the greatest player at any of them positions, but he does it.
Yep.
So Schuster can't do that.
No, he's not. He's just not that versatile.
No.
So I don't know what you do with him. I don't know who buys him. I don't even know if a Super League team would take him on, because what are they going to do with him? Because, as I said before, the thing with Super League, all jokes aside, they have to have players who are utility but across similar positions. So your second rowers have to be able to play at centre and vice versa. Because the season has got so many more games in it, you need that versatility. So if there's injuries and stuff, people can move around and it works out that way. your halves have to be able to play at hooker and vice versa. Can Schuster play hooker? Don't know. Can he play at centre? I doubt that. And so you're now looking at him and going, I don't even know if you can fill a position in a Super League roster.
I think you could play him at 5'8" in Super League, but that's because as a 5'8" in Super League, he could just be a ball runner. I mean, they've got some pretty average 5'8"s running around in Super League.
And he'd be another one.
Yeah, yeah. to the Hull FC team right now. What a fucking Hull FC team is. They get Tex Hoyer's leaving, and that's like a big loss for them, which says...
Yeah, look, let's be honest. I did get an offer from Hull FC, and that's just because for some reason they still have me on an email list. are you able to just pop around and play a few games at centre? I was like, nah, you know what, I'm all right. I'm okay. Share the email around if you can. They're struggling, the old Hull FC.
They really are.
I don't know, man. I just look at Schuster, I just watch him play, and I'm like, I don't get what you're doing. I think I get this impression that Manly thought that they'd be able to turn him into a Wade Graham type player.
Yeah, yeah.
And no. Wade Graham is just one of those rare things that you just don't get to see too often with that skill set and his ability to transfer from being a genuine 5'8" into being a genuine second rower. Very rare that that ever happens.
Well, how many big 5'8"s are there running around in the NRL right now?
That's the thing. The last time we saw any big 5'8"s was the start of the 21st century, and you had Brad Fittler and Braithen Astor essentially with it, and Trent Barrett even to an extent.
The closest we've got right now is Munster, and he's a pretty big body for a 5'8", but he's very athletic. I mean, he played fullback, and he played fullback last year at times for the Storm when they had injuries. So, and there's a big difference between that and Schuster. So, yeah, it's good on Schuster, by the way, signing that contract. Get every cent. Get every last cent you can. And if they say you've got to play reserve grade for 4 years, you pull on that it's Blacktown City jersey that they've got for their reserve grade team, and you fucking play reserve grade, and you have a nice car, and you have a nice house, and you let Manly Seagulls pay for all of it because you deserve that contract, mate. Don't let anyone give you shit about that contract. It's Manly's fucking problem now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's up to you for how many years you want to keep earning that sort of coin. But yeah, not decrying the bloke for getting that money. That's not his decision. That's Manly's decision to do that.
Exactly. I'm happy for every player that gets a giant contract. Hey.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
That's right. So
suck shit, Manly. You deserve it after what you did to my Panthers, you pricks.
What else has been going on?
Now, the NRL has come out this week and they have said, just to let everybody know, we are a wonderful organization. We are wonderful, wonderful people.
Yep.
And as such, we are not going to celebrate Michael Jennings' 300th game in the NRL, even though we allowed him to sign for the Roosters and we signed off on his contract and we allowed him to represent the Sydney Roosters every single weekend and become part of the National Rugby League every single weekend. We're not going to celebrate his 300th game.
That's right,
We're better than that.
That's right.
And I thought about it and I was like, okay, so they're not going to paint 300 on the field. Right. But they just wanted to let everyone know they're wonderful people, which I thought was really nice of the NRL. It shows they really fucking care, hey?
Yeah, oh, man. they really do. It's good to know that they're taking it... Hang on. I was going to say seriously. That's not the right word.
No.
What is the right word? I don't know. I just find it really weird that, as you said, they happily, without any fault, without any concern, stamped approved on his playing contract.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't do the same thing when Israel Folau was looking at coming back.
Should I crack my knuckles?
Oh, look, I think you should.
Okay. Okay. Now, all right.
Yeah.
These fucking pricks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They approved his contract. He did 4 years for taking the sort of drugs they were taking in fucking East Germany. He failed an IQ test. He took the sort of drugs that if I was offered them in a gym, I'd say, are you fucking serious, man? This is the shit they give to horses. You know, I'm not taking this shit. I need the good shit. I need the clear. I want what Barry Bonds was on, you know? I want that fucking shit that Marion Jones was on in the Sydney Olympics. Give me that stuff, not this fucking old crap.
1980s gear.
Yeah, it's like fucking hell. What is? Was this Carl Lewis's old stash or something?
Left over to box up around the back of the shed.
So he does that, and then he's got this fucking civil suit that he lost for alleged sexual assault against his ex-wife, right? The NRL approves his contract. Then the Sydney Roosters say, well, we're just a rehabilitation club. We take in all the rehabilitated players. And if the Sydney Roosters, who are the plaything of a rich guy who sells used fucking cars, have they ever, for one fucking second, ever not moralized every single shitty fucking cunt that they've ever signed? You know, it's always like, oh, he's racist, but, you know, we're doing something about it. Oh, he's violent, but, you know, he's in the right place. We're looking after him. It's always fucking something with the Roosters. Oh, he's not old enough to play first grade, but we're the right place for him, and we think he should. They always moralize every single fucking wrong decision that ever goes against them. It's fucking disgraceful. And they've come out today and they've said, well, the NRL's not going to celebrate his 300th game, but we're going to celebrate it because it's important. And it's like, fuck you guys. What we should do is take this fucking team, right, who stole France's logo, okay? Mm-hmm. No one talks about that. They stole it, okay? They changed their name 57 times in the 90s because they've got no culture whatsoever, okay? That you just have to look at their highest fucking named players in their team who have broken 300 games. It's like a who's who of who gives a fuck. We need to send these guys to Perth and just erase their history. They're going to be called the Quokkas. Their colors are going to be black and yellow, and they're just going to be a fucking NRL license. Give that stadium at the Sydney Football Stadium, give it to the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and let's be done with this charade because it's fucking, I'm over it. They don't have any juniors, okay? They contribute nothing to the competition. Let's fucking get rid of them. Let's do it, and let's do it because of this is the last straw.
How's about instead of sending them to Perth?
Yeah.
We send them to North Sydney Oval.
Well, North Sydney had more culture than this Rooster side ever did.
Yeah. They're just going to drop the blue and the white and put a black stripe on there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I remember when the Sydney Roosters were such a proud club that they wanted to call themselves the fucking Tigers, and then they wanted to call themselves the fucking Rabbit. Like, they wanted to merge with everyone because they didn't want to be the Roosters anymore. And now you've got to put up with fucking blow-ins that have been there for 18 months, like Cooper Cronk saying, oh, they're a proud club with a proud history. It's like, what a load of shit, Cooper. I remember when these fucking pricks were willing to go and become the Dragons just because they didn't want to be the Roosters anymore. Proud my fucking ass.
Oh, I've been waiting for that.
It needed to be said.
It's been a while since you've had a genuine rant.
And Trent Robinson, he walked into a club that was already put together for him, right? Everyone said, this guy's a super coach. This guy works on a different level. And then when he's got a coach, right, when he's got to make some fucking adjustments, he doesn't make them. He's like every other fucking Super League coach. You look at the people that have won Super League over the last fucking 25 years and pick the one decent coach out of the lot of them. They're all fucking shit.
We've done that already. We've been through that list a few, you know, like last year or 2 years ago or something like that.
I had someone this week on Twitter telling me that Justin Holbrook was a good coach. Do you know how hard it is to not call someone a fuckwit on Twitter these days? That's all I do on Twitter. I read things and I just sit there steaming saying, I can't even call this person a fuckwit.
Yeah, you start typing something up, you're going, I can't. I won't. I just
try not to be that person anymore on Twitter. I know people take my tweets as being angry, right?
Well, they are. Let's be honest. They always are.
They're not. You're saying I'm fucking angry, Andrew.
Look, not all the time, but all the time.
It's just... There's some shit that I see on Twitter that people say about rugby league. There's just every time I see someone write the NRL era, I just want to fucking feed them through a paper shredder.
Oh, that's fair. Right. Can I just ask that rant? Were you sitting on your gold-plated toilet when you made that rant?
No, I'm just sitting here in front of the microphone.
Gold microphone?
No, it's not a gold mic. I'm not pretentious.
Okay. No, I'm not saying you're pretentious. Just, you know, because you're a Panthers fan. Apparently everything
is gold. Oh, yeah, that's right. We have gold plated. Yeah.
Yeah, everything's gold.
Because that's what that fucking dumbass. Did you hear the self-censor then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's what that dumbass councillor at Leichhardt said that we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The councillor's probably never left Lilyfield.
Probably not.
On to good news.
Oh, cool.
Looks like John Bateman's not playing this week.
Oh, well, that's good for the Tigers. Hey, this is the first week I tipped the Tigers for years. I wrote their name down. And I'm like, I can't remember writing down the West Tigers for any game.
Yeah, hang on. These are English letters, but I've never put them in this order before.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Mm.
I was watching him play on the weekend and basically everything he did was the worst version of anything he could possibly do wearing a Tigers jumper. He was atrocious.
Yeah. I like it when I see you blowing up about him on Twitter, because people obviously think I'm biased against English players, and I don't know why, cause I don't care about English players, but, yeah, he's probably the worst contract in the NRL, I would say.
Yeah. He was atrocious. Mm. Gave away a stupid penalty when the Tigers were in a good position to put some defensive pressure on and get themselves back in the game early on.
Yeah.
And that was just for a stupid pushing, like, aggression act that just didn't need to be done. Grow up, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had a drop ball. What else was there? There was another knock on, a missed tackle. The missed tackle was a bad one because it was in the defensive line and he didn't even get near it. He tried to tackle someone over the fucking shoulder or something like that. They beat him with a step, not with pace.
Yeah.
And then he sprints. When he was sprinting and he was chasing after the ball carrier, it kind of looked like, I don't know. I guess what most people would see their grandfather looked like when he's trying to run. The mind is willing, but the legs aren't.
It's weird when he's saying, you know who's starting to look a little bit like that? And it's at a very high level. LeBron James, you can see when LeBron gets the ball, his body is just, he used to run really effortlessly. And now you see his body just runs in a certain way and he gets there, right?
Yeah.
But it's just not what it used to be.
Well, the funny thing was when Bateman turned around, he did that thing where he's got his hands like pointing out straight and he's like waving them around really fast, trying to go really quick. And his hands are moving really quick, but his legs are just going plod, 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 plod. What are you doing? He's just reminding us that you missed a tackle to go up and miss another one.
He misses a lot of tackles where it probably doesn't go down as a missed tackle, where he just doesn't get close enough because he's been beaten for like, because he hasn't got much lateral movement and pace.
And that, look, I was just going to say, like, that's the thing, okay? Usually the blokes who have got poor lateral movement are big fellas.
Mm.
And he's not that. Mm. So his lateral movement should be really good, and it is atrocious.
Yeah.
I don't mean this in all honesty. He needs to sit down and have one-on-one sessions defensively with someone like Liam Fulton, because his lateral movement was insanely good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people didn't get past Liam Fulton. He didn't go out. He wasn't known for putting on big hits. But he was known for when he made a tackle, he stuck to it. No one pushed him off. He didn't get beat with a step or with speed. He was just so damn good at laterally moving in the right spot, where teams would actually stop running down his side. They'd either try and go wider of him or they'd go the other side. He needs to talk with someone like that and be shown, you know, hey, you should be moving for a slightly built second rower.
Yeah.
You should be a lot better than what you are, man, because, my God, he was atrocious. I think he ended up getting a head knock and had to come off with a HIA.
Yeah.
Within 2 minutes of him being gone, the Tigers scored their first try.
He's just not a good player. And, you know, he should just go back to Super League.
He's been woeful since coming back to the NRL and being at the Tigers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's game plans or what it is, but I haven't seen him play a good game yet in the Tigers jumper. Yeah. Not even close to a good game. Yeah. People have been waiting for a bit of a Tigers win. Just the best I can give you at the moment, because even though they lost, I'm still pretty happy with how they're going.
Yeah, they're going all right. I tell you, someone, this will be weird for you. You know the team I really enjoyed watching on the weekend? The Canberra Raiders.
No, I get that.
They were fucking great to watch against Parramatta. I know Parramatta didn't play all that well, and as a result, they've shuffled their team like it's a fucking Yahtzee board this week, which is a really bad sign.
But what you're seeing at the moment from Brad Arthur as coach is he's guessing.
Yeah, yeah. He's blindly searching.
That's not a good place to be when you're a coach. Tim Sheens went through that for a long time at the West Tigers when things just weren't working out because he was not good at what he did. Started guessing by constantly moving players around. As soon as you start moving the team around everywhere, cohesion's gone.
Yeah.
There's no combinations.
I really enjoyed watching the Raiders. When Jordan Rapana did his knee, I knew immediately what he'd done. Hey, it was really weird. And I was going to put like, I was going to go on Twitter and be like, that's his meniscus. His meniscus is a problem. And I thought, look, how do I know this? I'm not a doctor, not in Australia anyway. There are a few Pacific Islands that I can get away with being a doctor, but, you know. And I thought, so I'm not putting it, and it was his meniscus, which was kind of strange.
Hang on, though, I mean, that does make you a doctor then.
You reckon?
Yeah. Doctor freak.
Oh, but I'm already the glorious. I went to glorious school.
glorious doctor freak. Doctor glorious thing, freak. Oh, which title is bigger?
The thing that gets me is when I watch Savage play, two things really stand out for me. Is the first thing is like how much he's filled out since the last good run of first grade he got.
Yep.
You know, he went from being a pretty skinny athlete to now he's a big dude. Like he's kind of a little bit like Katoni Staggs.
Yeah.
And where he's just a big, strong dude and very, very fast, very athletic. It's good to see him in space. And then I think, why didn't they call him Randy? Because if his name
golden
was
golden opportunity.
It was just to have a son that's last name is Savage and you don't call him Randy Savage is just the worst thing you could do to young man.
You've got a golden opportunity handed to you and you've thrown it out the window.
Yeah.
What would he say when he scored a try?
Oh yeah.
Man, I'd love if his first name was Randy and he decided to become a commentator in his later career.
And he ends up being Randy. Randy Savage did some commentary, didn't he?
Oh yeah. He got on the mic. Did some commentary, did some play by play.
Have I ever told people on the podcast the name of my cat is Randy Savage?
Well, you have now.
Yeah. I've got a ginger cat. I got two cats, and one of them, their name is Randy Savage, because he's very cute. He loves cuddle, but he also likes to jump off of things.
Does he cry a lot as well?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't cry a lot.
Pray for a ginger.
Yeah. Do you know that ginger people, apart from the fact they don't have souls, right?
Yeah.
They are more susceptible to capsicum spray.
Really?
Yeah, they really are. I'm not joking. They really are.
I'll have to test that out.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm ginger, so I'll have to go try that out.
Do people say you're ginger?
Yeah, I think it's the beard.
All right. It goes with ginger. So, yeah, some dudes are like that, hey?
Yeah. It's a bit of a shame, but well. Hopefully the rest of it just goes white. I can just whitewash it out. Move on from there. What else has been going on in the world of rugby league?
You wanted to talk about some stuff about Super League.
Oh, yeah. There was a tweet during the week from Steve Mascord.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find it here. I thought it'd be an interesting conversation point, if albeit briefly. He said, if the NRL are interested in the European market, should they contact IMG or just Catalan, Leeds, Wigan, Saints and Warrington? From his research for the book that he wrote on the Super League War, he said there is little tying those clubs to those organisations that a few bucks could not trump. He's basically saying that those clubs would be open to any suggestions to go to a different competition if the money was right.
Yeah, and like that's why the whole idea of the NRL investing in Super League is so fucking stupid, because all it would take is for the clubs to just say, okay, you own Super League, we're all leaving, and that's it. You don't own anything.
If we're going to do a massive hypothetical here, okay, and we've not thought any of this through.
All right.
If the NRL managed to get all of those clubs across, well, let's not take Warrington. They don't win anything. Catalans, Leeds, Wigan and Saints.
Why? Hang, okay. First of all, Warrington? Like, why? Why Warrington?
I think only because they're probably one of the more financially stable clubs. I wouldn't say successful or strong enough, but I think stable.
The only thing Warrington has going fucking for it is the canal. And it's just because you can find dead bodies in it, floating out into the ocean. Like, there's nothing good about Warrington. I don't know why the NRL would say, oh, yeah, let's get fucking Warrington involved. Like, yeah, so let's get rid of Warrington straight away.
That's why I initially just dropped them straight away. I went, yeah, we don't want them.
We have Parramatta. They win premierships in fucking, you know, May. Yeah. We don't need another one. Warrington, no, see you later. Okay?
That's right.
That's the first thing. Okay. Now, Wigan.
Wigan?
They produce players. I'm willing to take Wigan, okay?
Okay.
St. Helens, why would I take Wigan B? Okay? Do you know the highest drawing club in St. Helens is Wigan?
No, I mean, this is true.
Okay? Now, so we don't need St. Helens. Oh, you got a stadium that holds 15,000 people. Whoop-de-doo. We don't need St. Helens. Okay?
How about
best St. Helens players ever have been from fucking Wigan, by the way.
How about we call them St. Wigan?
St. Wigan. Why don't we just merge them and call them Wigan Rugby League Club?
Wigan Helens.
St. Helens is such a big club that people in Liverpool don't give a fuck.
There we go. So we'll just take Wigan there. We'll leave Saints over there.
Yeah. Now, Catalan Dragons, it's the south of France. They're an interesting club in that they kind of have a region and it goes into southern Spain, the Catalonia area. So that I find that really cool, hey? The problem is with Catalan Dragons is that they would have to take a flight from southern Spain to Paris, and then from Paris get their way to the east coast of Australia, basically. And that's a long fucking flight.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was talking more about if we took these teams, okay,
mm-hmm.
obviously, logistically, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But if those teams were to become NRL clubs,
mm-hmm.
how long would English Rugby League survive for, and why would it only be 2 years?
I think English Rugby League would be fine. I really do.
The problem you'd have, though, is you left St. Helens behind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They would just...
Like the industrial age?
I'm self-censoring myself.
Like electricity and running water.
Yeah. Yeah. But they would just dominate it entirely and no one would get close to them, and they just win everything every year and it would be boring as hell. So what's the point?
Okay. you know the easiest way to do this, right? Because the NRL isn't buying anything. Like, why would the NRL put any money into anything that's over in England at all?
No, okay? they wouldn't.
Yes.
Because there's no point in it for them.
Yeah,
the only reason why the idea comes up is because English fans are starting to realise that something needs to change, but at the same time, they are scared of change. So they're hoping that the NRL comes on board because it's another rugby league body, and so they'd hope that they'd just come along and just go, here's all the money that you'll ever possibly need. Now, keep doing what you're doing at the moment, which is a financial disaster, and that's what they want.
And that's what they want. And it's like, no, Australia does – the Australian Rugby League – and all of the clubs over here, including the New Zealand Warriors, by the way, they are under no obligation whatsoever to waste money over in Europe on something that's dying. There's just no need to do that. That's silliness. So this idea they're going to buy in is dumb. But if you really want to see some Super League in the NRL, how about this, right? You run the Super League season. You have the grand final, and it's in, say, August, late August, is the Super League grand final. Then the two teams that make the Super League grand final, or maybe just the one Super League grand final winner, becomes the last team in the NRL final series.
Ew.
They just fly over. Look, if they think they're good enough, let's throw them into the Lions den. Let's see how they go. I think we know how they'll go. You know, this isn't February. This is fucking October, September, when it really counts. Let's see how they go. Let's just do it for 1 year.
I think what they want, which would be a better idea for England, not so much for here, is, you know, in the Challenge Cup, once they get to the final few rounds before the playoffs, they introduce the professional teams.
Yeah.
So the second or the third last round is when the championship teams come in, and then the round after is when the Super League ones come in, and then they have some playoffs, and then it's the finals and stuff.
Yes.
I think it's something like that anyway. Have the round before the playoffs be the round when all the NRL teams come in, and none of the NRL teams play each other. They play against an English club. And let's just see who's in the final... I don't know, eight games, the last 16 teams. Okay, and whoever wins that can get an invite into the final series if they're not already in it in the NRL.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Why don't we just make the Challenge Cup? Why don't we just make that like something else? Why don't we just replace the World Club Challenge with the Challenge Cup?
And just have all the professional teams from Australia and England in it.
Yeah, why not?
Well, we could chuck in the New South Wales Cup and Queensland Cup sides.
I know that would ruin the betting trends in England. And that's all I'll say about that. But it'd be better than it currently is right now, the Challenge Cup. Like, the Challenge Cup really doesn't – no one cares about it until the final.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, though, does come down to the fact that it does go on for the entire year, but in bits and pieces, and contains lots of clubs that no one really sees until the Challenge Cup turns up.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. It's got a lot of popularity over there, given how long it's been going for.
Look, it's the oldest trophy you can win in rugby league is the Challenge Cup.
Yeah. So I suppose that means something. But there you go. I can't see why the NRL would do that.
I saw somebody on Twitter saying, why don't we see an NRL team buy a club like the London Broncos? All right. Mm. The reason is, number one, there's zero marketing involved in it. Like, you own the London Broncos. Great. Now what? So now you're paying for a club that's in London that isn't producing talent at the same level that it would be if you, say, for instance, bought the Windsor Wolves, for instance, you know?
Yeah.
Which you don't have to buy the Windsor Wolves, by the way. You can just do a deal with them to be a feeder team for your NRL club. So you're getting a club that doesn't produce talent on a cost-effective basis whatsoever. that actually costs you way more money than it does to do anything, any other option you have to expand the game. It's just a crazy idea. And it really is just a bunch of people that don't think it through to more than 1 or 2 minutes. What they really want is for Peter Volantis to turn up on a private jet with a big pile of cash and throw it down the fucking stairs of his private jet and say, here you go, boys, do whatever you want with it. And that's what it comes down to. Like you said, they don't want to change anything. They just want to suckle on the teat. And when you tell them to fuck off, they get upset.
Yeah, I've said before, like, International Rugby League needs English Rugby League to be strong and consistently good. It does.
Does it? Does it?
But the problem is it hasn't been for so long. Because the problem you get, is people will eventually get bored watching a whole bit of NRL players playing against each other all the time. We just need something different every now and then.
What was more boring than watching Australia go over there and whip the ever-loving shit out of these fucking trumped-up players that they used to run out in a Great Britain jersey?
That's my point. We like going over there and beating England because we're beating a bunch of other players we don't get to see too often. But sometimes, I would say that some of my favourite test matches I've ever watched were in the early 90s when Australia went over to England and played them over there.
And what did we do?
Great games of footy.
We whipped them.
Of course we did.
That was fucking 30 years ago, man.
That's kind of my point, though, is some of our best test matches were against England when they were stronger, in like 1990, 1992, when they had decent sides. But they don't have that anymore. We need that different type of game that can challenge Australia. But the thing is, they're not doing anything remotely correct to create any of the talent and make them as competitive as possible on a consistent basis without them being over here and being infiltrated into the Australian system for several years. Mm-hmm. And even then, they still don't get there. And we're not seeing them, you know. Then we just go back to watching different types of NRL teams playing each other when Australia plays New Zealand. It's just all NRL players. Then we've just got the English version of that, just a whole heap of players in the NRL playing against Australia. And we need the English game to be stronger because when it's stronger, it can help bring France up, and if it was smart and if it was good at what it did, it'd be able to bring up Ireland and Wales and Scotland and all that. But they've been so garbage at administering their own game for so long that mediocrity is all they know and it's all they seek to achieve because it's easy. And that's all they do.
I think you're just biased against English people.
Well, yeah, okay, fair enough.
No, I agree with you, and although I don't agree that we need England for a thriving international competition, I think they're no more or less relevant than anyone else. And, you know, it's just, I think that if they continue with their rule changes that they're doing independently, that the International Rugby League, under its charter, should actually kick England out as a member nation because they won't be playing rugby league anymore. And I expect that to happen in the next few years. But yeah, I don't think we need England. I really don't.
In its current state, absolutely not. And we've proven that by barely playing any games against them.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Like if I said to you, name three test series that Australia would be involved in, that would be cool to watch. Would you name England in any of them? Cause I wouldn't.
Of course not. But that's based on how things are now. I'd love to see nothing more than a competitive test series of entirely Super League-based players in England playing against an NRL side of Australians or, you know, the Kiwis. But we're never going to get that because the only way you can make England competitive is by having all of their players playing in the NRL, which is just more of the same what we've already got. I want to see something different, and we're not getting that. That's why watching France play is pretty interesting because they play a completely different style of footy. They may get flogged. Same thing goes with Papua New Guinea. You know, they may get beat. But you know what? They don't get beat much anymore. And if they do, it's a hell of a fucking fight. Mm. And we all love watching the Papua New Guineans play. And it's because that's something different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what England used to have many, many decades ago, but they don't provide it anymore because they've taken the easy option.
Yeah, I just think it's – I think like a lot of things in life, that's a bygone era. You know, I mean, and you and me are too young to have really seen when those games were really competitive and Great Britain was actually good. And we missed that by quite a way when you think about it. We missed it by a couple of decades.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they were genuinely a powerhouse was, you know, 60s and 70s.
Yeah, yeah. So
and even then, I mean, Australia had caught up pretty rapidly at that stage and France were just starting to dip down. I mean, for honest, the 50s was when international rugby league between the four major nations was at its absolute peak.
Yeah, it was anyone could beat anyone, really.
Yeah, and they all had some of the greatest players of all time playing at that time too.
Yeah, and, you know, we kind of really saw the fumes of that. And, you know, in our lifetimes, we've never seen Great Britain / England beat Australia in a series ever for any reason.
No.
So, yeah, I just think they're not that important. And I've always felt like everywhere is important as everywhere else. I don't think that there's anywhere where rugby league is more important than anywhere else. And so when I see a team rise or fall, it is what it is. And, you know, I mean, I was one of the few people on this side of the planet that would have sat down and watched every single game of that series last year between England and Tonga. And let me tell you, I don't want to watch that shit. Because what they did in that series and the whole bullshit scenario, it's just, I'm not interested in watching that. I want to watch actual games that are actually allowed to be competitive.
I mean, that would be nice.
It would be. Do you think rugby league needs to ride on the back of international rugby league, or can we do it with the club game only?
I mean, you can do it on the club game only, but I think a strong international game makes things a lot better.
In what sense?
I look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a player, I mean, the AFL is a good example. What's the highest achievement you get in the AFL?
Playing in the AFL.
You win the grand final and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be good to be able to say to your kids or grandkids, I played for my country?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm not saying get rid of
international. No, I know that. But, I mean, to me, that should be something that is like the paramount thing. It's not in rugby league at the moment because State of Origin is seen as the peak of the game. And that's the fault of international rugby league for not doing anywhere near enough during especially the 90s, when they still had enough competition in England, Australia, New Zealand, and the game was growing everywhere throughout Europe. There was enough growing interest everywhere at that time, and they did very little to do to help any of it get better. They just sat back and watched it, and then it fell apart. And that was really the moment when things went downhill. Because they basically sat on their hands for most of the time before that, but it worked.
Well, I mean,
the 90s, when everything changed around, they just did nothing. They just let it go wherever it wanted to.
Look, the Super League war changed everyone's priorities. And I mean, when push come to shove in who's in charge, and that you had the International Rugby League Federation, I guess it was back then, no one was listening to those guys. They hadn't, because they have no power. Even today, the International Rugby League, push comes to shove, they've got zero power over anyone. Like if Australia decided that we're going to play next year with 14 players on the field, the International Rugby League couldn't do shit about it.
Well, no, I mean, we're seeing that already because of all the crazy rule changes that England's brought in. So if the International Rugby League can't police and hold the English Super League to alignment, they're not going to have any say over the NRL.
Exactly. So I just wonder if, like, I see a lot of parallels between basketball and rugby league in that the NBA is like the NRL and every other, you've got some leagues that are, you know, pretty good and stuff, but at the end of the day, the NRL is the granddaddy of them all and everyone knows it. It's where all the money is. It's where all the sponsors are. It's where all the best players go. And everyone wants to win an NRL title above basically any other title there is out there. And yes, there is international basketball, like there is international rugby league, but I don't know how much that in the current age really drives much. Now, you can look back and say, well, what about the dream team in the in Barcelona? And yeah, that's a good example, but that was in 1992. That's a very different time in the world.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to have that sort of thing happen in international sport in this day and age. But yeah, I think that maybe the way forward is to push the club game as much as anything, and international rugby league is just a bonus.
Well, yeah, that's right. And that's why it is at the moment. There's no way that that's going to change in the short or even medium term future.
Yeah. And you know, like you and me love the international rugby league as much as each other. And if I had my way, there'd be sell out 80,000 seat stadium, every rugby league World Cup final. That's what you'd love to happen. But the reality is where we really are, that's not where we're at for the game. And I just think that we need to work with what we've got sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, so do we need Wales to be good?
No, we never have.
Okay, well, that's that bit done. shall we look at the games last week and moving forward to the games this week?
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm assuming you saw more of the games last week than I did. I saw a few.
I did. I think there was only one or two games I didn't watch last week. So let me bring them up.
First off, we had Melbourne versus Brisbane.
Yeah, that was a really cool game, that one.
Oh, that was great. That, what a contest that was.
Yeah, it's look, I think that I personally think the Storm, the Broncos and the Panthers, it's all between them. For the premiership this year, those three teams just seem to look like, especially when you look at the Broncos, and they've had players that have been injured and in and out their side and stuff like that, and they're still just rolling along. I'm really enjoying watching Broncos games. Their forward pack is so good. When it comes to pure go forward, I think they may be the best team in the league. It's amazing when you think about that, because we've got the Panthers in the league. The Storms pack isn't quite as good, but even in the grand final, we saw, like, even when Penrith were coming back, when the Broncos got the ball and they had really good go forward, it wasn't like they were getting smashed and going backwards. So, yeah, it's...
And you know what the crazy thing is?
What?
Payne Haas hasn't played yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when they get him back and... You know, everyone will be back, and like Reece Walsh, you know, they missed him. Although Saylor's been pretty good at fullback.
Yeah, he's been very handy. The concern though is about Adam Reynolds.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he looked like he'd done his knee, but apparently it was later confirmed that he'd had a mild strain of his hamstring.
And look,
but he looked pretty devastated.
He did, and It's been a thing with him for a lot of years now where, you know, can you rely on him? And if I was the Broncos, I would be trying to get a halfback in place that was a backup that I could rely upon. And, you know, I mean, that's a big ask. Every club would love that. They don't just grow on trees, unfortunately.
That's right. So he's due to come back on the same week as Payne Haas,
mm-hmm.
which is only what, 2 or 3 weeks away. So that's mm-hmm. not a bad result for him. But yeah, that was Ezra Mann really stood up mm-hmm. when Adam Reynolds went off at halftime. He had a stunning second half.
He's such an exciting player to watch.
Oh, he's so good, man.
Yeah.
Eli Katoa ran some bloody great lines and was really good defensively too for the Storm in that game. But yeah, that was a brilliant match.
Yeah, we've had so many good games already this season. It's like we've been spoiled.
Yeah. Now the next one I didn't get to see. The next few I didn't get to see. The Bulldogs beat the Roosters 30-26.
Yeah, look, the Bulldogs at one point were smashing them, and the Roosters come roaring back, even though they had a player sent off. It was, what's the big Pommy player's name?
Oh, Dominic Young.
Dominic Young, yeah. He got sent off, and it was a fair send off too.
And true to form, Victor Radley also got binned, so he's back in form.
Yeah, he got binned. He was, his one was a little bit harsh, I felt, but I'll never feel sorry for Victor Radley, so I didn't care. And with missing players on the field, I mean, they still come storming back. I always felt like the Bulldogs were handling it all right, but it was closer than they wanted it to be. But yeah, that, like, the fucking Roosters, we've said it. They're not as good as what the media is making them out to be.
Yeah, it's, I dare say, because so many people in the media are former players and they've either been Roosters players or they live in Bondi.
Yeah, probably, hey. I tell you what, Viliami kick out in the first half of this game was just like destroying the worlds. He was unbelievable. He was so good. And then I stopped passing him the ball in the second half. It was really weird.
Because that's the thing that I did see this much, is that the Bulldogs are up by something like 26-0, something like that, at halftime.
Mm.
And then they lost the second half 26-4. They almost threw it away.
Yeah, it was a rough one. It was a rough second half for them. But they, as I said, I always felt like they pretty much had it under control, even though it was a little bit too close.
Next one, the Knights beat the Dragons 30-10.
I actively avoided watching this one. The Dragons are just too rough to watch this year. And, like, the Knights are not much better, to be honest, I don't think. I did have it on in the background. The weather for this game was absolutely putrid. It's really weird that up in Newcastle, like every about 8 to 12 years, they just have this wet weather game that the game probably should be called off.
They're playing it in a pool.
Yeah, and this was one of them.
The Warriors beat South 34-4.
The Warriors are looking really good. I was worried about them this season. I was worried that they were going to not be as good, and I think they're better than they were last year. They just walked through this Rabideaus team. The Rabideaus were lucky that the scoreline wasn't bigger. The Rabideaus were never in this match. It was just so one-sided.
They're playing without a game plan at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no strategy whatsoever what they're doing. They just look a mess.
Speaking of a mess,
Manly beat Penrith 32-18. Mind you, Penrith didn't have Cleary.
Yep.
Sorensen,
he was out.
Sorensen. Yeah, it was always going to be a bit of a stretch when you've lost your halfback.
I still thought Penrith were going to walk this in, and there were times in the first half where it looked like they were going to dominate Manly. The referee had a big say on just not allowing a contest to get underway for the first half hour, especially. Like, and it was for both sides. Like, just silly things like just penalty. He was just too involved in the match.
Well, the penalty count was 10-4 to Manly.
Yeah, and there were six again calls that were harsh, and I just wanted to watch a game footy between these two teams. Manly was definitely up for it, and it just never got going in that first half. In the second half, there are a few decisions that went against Penrith that were pretty rough, but then Penrith kind of fell apart defensively, which we don't see ever.
Yeah, even when they're playing with the second string side or something like that.
Mm.
Defensively, they're still solid. The systems don't seem to change. It's usually only their attack that's weakened. But,
yeah, and they fell apart. And
yeah,
it was the worst performance in probably, geez, it must be 5 years or so now, I thought. And Manly thoroughly deserved it. And as I've always said, if you get a decision that goes against you and you're filthy about it and you blow up about it, and Penrith didn't, by the way, it was more fans. Fair enough. When the other team scores 30 points on you, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I don't want to hear any excuses or pointing any fingers when you let another team score 30 points against you. Just shut the fuck up and cop it.
That's right. You're out of the game.
Yep.
That's all there is to say about that.
Yep.
Manly this year look like one of those teams that are either going to put 50 on or have 50 put on them. And I think I'm more convinced that they're going to win more games than they lose.
Mm.
But I'm not convinced which ones are going to win.
I can be convinced both ways in the same game early on.
Yeah.
I think it's because they've got a pretty solid bench. Like their bench, once they get into their bench forward rotation, like Sipley is amazing bench. He's amazing. And I think that it changes the game a little bit once they get into their bench rotation. I think that's what it is.
I think even Ben Trbojevic to the back row has also been a pretty smart move. I never saw that one coming.
No, I thought he was going to be a center.
Yeah.
But he's playing pretty well in the back row. And I saw him about 2 or 3 years ago. I called him in the lower grades, and he was just a standout on the field. He was, like I said, like this guy will play in the NRL. And it wasn't some like grand, you know, I wasn't Arthur Beetson. You know, I wasn't spotting someone from nowhere. If Trbojevic playing in the NRL, duh. Like if they've got any other brothers or cousins or something, I'm going to guess right now they're going to play in the NRL. But you could just tell like where he was going. But I thought he was going to end up as a center. And yeah, he's a bit taller than he was, obviously. And but he was still like a big giant athlete back then, even. So it's cool to watch him running around at the moment.
Absolutely. The Dolphins beat the Tigers 26-16. This was one of those game of two halves things.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dolphins led 14-0 at halftime, and the Tigers won the second half 16-12. As I mentioned before, Bateman was just a mess. Mm-hmm. I can't see him staying in the run-on side for much longer. Sam Finu has been pretty bloody solid so far. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some changes there. The Tigers' attack did look less threatening without Galvin there.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much an 18-year-old changes this side.
It's like, yeah, he plays like, what, 3-4 games? And then now he's all of a sudden, it's like, we need him in this team. That's how good he's been now. It's been really cool.
He has been brilliant. The Tigers pack, they're holding their own.
Mm.
They've come up against some pretty decent forward packs these last few weeks. And the Dolphins pack isn't really one that's full of slouches. It's Wayne Bennett builds decent forward packs.
Yeah.
And they held their own pretty well in this game. I've been pretty impressed with what Benji's got this side doing at this stage. He's playing it simple, but simple fucking works. And that's all this club needed to do.
Yeah, and it's coaching.
Yeah, I mean, it's the simple things they were never doing to start with.
Yeah.
He's got them doing it, and look how much more competitive they are just doing the basic things right.
Well, he flogged them in training. He got certain standards higher than they were. He didn't stand for anything less than what he demanded. And then, you know, he gets them out there and he's saying to them, like, this is the standard. And, you know, that game, I mean, last year, this game, I probably wouldn't have even watched it. But you watched it this week, last weekend, and it was a good, solid game of footy, and the Tigers were in it. Like, I know they lost, but they were still there or thereabouts. And when your team has been terrible for so long, you just want to get back to that point where you can turn on the TV on the weekend and be, you're a chance. That's all you want. You just want to be a chance.
Speaking of a chance, the Titans? Nah. Mm. Titans lost to the Cowboys 35-22.
Yeah, the Titans are pathetic. The Cowboys were just all right in this game. They weren't on nothing special.
They got out to they had a decent first half and cruised through the second half.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen them absolutely crush them in the second half instead of cruise, because I think that's what they needed to do.
Yeah, same here, but I think there's a ceiling on what the Cowboys can do this year. Even in attack, when they're really rolling, they make mistakes and they're a little bit erratic. And you know, it's probably lucky they were playing the Titans in this game, because I think any decent team, you know, we've talked about how soft the Cowboys pack has been in defense. But, the, you know, they're playing the Titans. It's like having a bye.
It pretty much is. Now, I did some stats prior to the episode. Looking at the last 121 games by the Titans, and the reason why I've got that number is that's from 2019 till now, this round one 2019 till now.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 38 wins and 83 losses.
Yeah.
And I compared that with the last 121 games of the old Gold Coast side.
The Gold Coast Chargers.
Chargers, Seagulls, Giants, all of those.
They were the same thing, just different names.
So they had just 9 wins less. They had 4 draws, which means they had 5 losses more.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans have scored 441 points more than that Seagull side did, but have conceded just 13 points less.
Wow.
And that's the telling fact, is the fact that they've only had 5 losses less than that Seagull side. And defensively, they've been just as bad.
Yeah, that's not good. Poor Gold Coast. If you live on the Gold Coast and you like going to rugby league games, you're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, drive to Brisbane.
Yeah.
that's all we've got for you, sorry.
You know your team is shit when Tweed Head says, stop mentioning our name.
Yeah, we don't want to be involved in this anymore. Yeah. We're from New South Wales now.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, the final match of the round, Canberra absolutely belted Parramatta 41-8.
Yeah, it was really good to watch. It was a proper full-on belting. And Parramatta, they're not in a good place right now.
No, and we're going to go through have a bit of a preview of the upcoming games, but yeah, the Eels are lost.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think the smartest thing they could have done for this game is put Gutherson at 5'8 and put a fullback in the side. Because Dylan Brown needs a bit of support in the halves, and Gutherson does have a passing game that is useful. But at the moment, they're not getting their sets off to a good start, which is what they need.
You know who they could use right now is Jake Arthur.
That would help.
That would have been good, hey?
Where'd he go by the chance?
He went to Manly.
That's right.
They needed another half.
They needed another half.
He's probably on $500,000 himself. look, they're really struggling right now. I think some of their forwards aren't really putting in, and that's a problem for them because everything used to roll off the back of their forwards. Obviously, missing Moses is a problem, but I want somebody to put together a highlights package of Gutherson when someone breaks through the line, but Gutherson doesn't actually get to them. Like Gutherson's really good at, and there was a player in the 90s who was like that, and I can't remember who it was, but just diving and getting nothing from a player that's come through the line. Do you remember who the player in the 90s was that did that?
Was it a fullback?
Yeah, it was.
It
was Peter Jorgensen.
Oh, yes.
He used to do that.
Poor bugger was so slow.
He was so slow. Yeah, me and my friends used to make fun of him. We'd pretend to be Peter Jorgensen and just fling ourselves to the side and fall on the ground and do nothing, you know. That's what Gutherson's doing in so many games. He's really been close up to seeing some really good tries, Gutherson. And every time I see him do that, it reminds me of the scene in The Matrix, and I just think, he's starting to believe.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. I think some of those results were expected.
Some of them.
We haven't had too many genuine upsets this year, really, so far. It's been pretty. Yeah.
I think that the Seagulls one was probably a pretty big upset, but it wasn't like. Like the Seagulls earned it. So I guess that you kind of think of it different, don't you?
That's right, yeah. Shall we have a look at the upcoming round?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I've got a few stats for each of these games. So we'll go with Knights Roosters. The Knights have won 12 of their last 16 NRL games, and the Roosters have won 16 of their last 19 games against the Knights.
Yeah, I went with the Roosters, first of all, because they're all going to rally around another one of their wonderful rehab projects. Mm-hmm. And I don't rate the Knights. Like, as low as I rate the Roosters, I rate the Knights lower.
Yeah, I have no idea on this, so I'm just going to... Knights, I don't know.
Okay.
I've got no reason why. I think it'll be a close game, so that's probably why.
Okay.
Storm Bulldogs. Melbourne have won 7 of their last 8 games against the Dogs, but the Bulldogs have won 4 of their last 6 games down here at Amy Park.
Oh, wow, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. Storm will win this, though.
Yeah, they'll win by about 40.
Yeah. Broncos and Dolphins. So, Brisbane have won 33 of 45 games against Queensland-based sides at Suncorp Stadium.
Wow, that's a pretty good record.
Yeah. The last and only time that the Dolphins won 3 straight games, they lost their following match at Suncorp Stadium against the Broncos.
Oh, wow.
And they've won their last 3 straight games. And this week they're playing against the Broncos at Suncorp Stadium.
It's all lining up for them. I'm going for the Broncos. They're really a team on a different level to most teams, and it's like the Dolphins could upset them, but they're going to have to play their asses off.
Yeah, the Reynolds omission for the next few weeks is going to hurt the Broncos a whack, but. Mm-hmm. I do think the Broncos should be able to get up, but they're not going to be winning these games by the big margin that they probably otherwise would.
Yeah, yeah.
Warriors versus Manly. Warriors have won 15 of their last 22 NRL games, and Manly have won 24 of their last 33 against the Warriors.
I think the Warriors are going to... I think the Warriors are going to blitz them.
Yeah, I'm going Warriors in this one. I don't know... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to blitz them or not. It's hard to tell, as I said. I don't know with Manly whether they're going to be putting 50 on or having 50 put on them.
We'll find out.
Speaking of teams that are inconsistent, mm-hmm. Parramatta versus the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I've got some numbers here for you.
Okay, hit me with them.
Cowboys have won 9 of their last 31 games in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Parramatta have conceded 382 points in their last 13 games, which is 29.4 points per game.
Fuck.
Yeah. I think I'll go Cowboys, but I think this is going to be a bludger of a match.
I think if there's anything in this Parramatta team at all that's left, they need to win this game. Because the Cowboys' defense is so easy to walk through in the middle of the field that if the Parramatta Eels can't walk through this side, then they're right this season off.
It's going to be a battle of two heavily underperforming forward packs that should be doing a lot better than they are.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So we'll be interested to see what happens there. Speaking of underperforming... The Rabbitohs will be taking on the Sharks. Now, Souths have won 5 of their last 18 NRL games and have conceded 578 points, which is 28.7 points per game. And the Sharks last won back-to-back games against Souths in 2015.
I'm picking this is going to be Jason Demetrio's last game as the coach, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
If that is real... I think that they will roll over and die. I think it'll be... I just can't see the mindset of the players lifting for the coach when he's on his way out anyway. And players know when someone's a good coach and when they're not. Like, that's something that I think people forget. You know, these professional footy players, they know what good coaching is and what bad coaching is. So yeah. If they want him out, they'll roll over and die. South's not being in the top 8 means that Cronulla will win, because that's what Cronulla does. They rack up big scores against teams that are relevant. And Mal Meninga's going to stroll in with his fucking arms strapped up with the big piece of foam padding around it next week and take over.
I'm seeing the Sharks winning this by plenty because the ins and outs for both teams. There's three big returns for the Sharks in this one. Hamlin Ewoli, Britton Nakora, and Toby Rudolph all return. So their forward pack has been beefed up pretty heavily. The Rabbitohs have lost Latrell Mitchell, and they've made a ton of changes to their squad, which is never a good thing.
Lachlan Elias broke his leg too on the weekend.
Yeah, God, that was a bit rough.
Yeah.
Just as your regulation downtown kick, and he's just banged it into the leg of a defender chasing through trying to charge the ball down.
Do you know they gave that guy 4 weeks?
I did hear that. That was nuts.
Stupid. It's just it wasn't even a mistake. There was nothing malicious. It was just a bunch of players ran into each other and one of them come out with a broken leg. Nothing. It was just an accident.
It's a horrible accident, but that's all it is. There was no, as you said, no malicious intent. There was no foul play. He's not trying to kick him in the leg, in the shin or anything like that.
No. Ran in the way you're supposed to with your arms up in the air.
Yep.
And
he was playing at the ball, not at the actual player.
Yeah.
He's not trying to make a tackle or lead with a shoulder or anything like that. He's doing all the right things.
Just an accident.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy decision. Very British.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm guessing the Sharks. I'm putting the Sharks down for a pretty solidly sized win for that one.
If the Sharks scored 48 points, I wouldn't bat an eyelid.
No, absolutely not. Tigers versus Dragons.
I picked the West Tigers.
You did? Did you?
I picked the West Tigers. How about that?
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Did your finger feel weird when you're clicking the button for the Tigers side of thing and the tip? You're like, hang on. And like the hands automatically just dragging the mouse across to the other side. And then it goes to the Dragons. It's like, oh, and it goes back the other way. And you're trying to force yourself to click on a button. It's like, I don't know what to do.
Andrew, if at any point during the day my finger didn't feel weird, then I'd worry. My fingers should always feel weird.
Weird or moist? How's this for a stat?
Yeah.
Bryce Gibbs, in his first ever game of the NRL, scored more tries in that match than what the Tigers wingers have scored so far this year.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And he scored one.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. The Dragons have won 6 of their last 28 games. Mm-hmm. The Tigers have won 10 of their last 55 games.
This is going to be a good one.
The Tigers look so much better than the Dragons right now, and they're playing a lot more consistently than the Dragons right now.
They are.
So they should win.
They should.
I'm going with should, and I'm gonna stay there. I'm tipping the Tigers to win.
By the way, on the weekend, Norfoluma, he let in 4 tries. 4.
I read some of the comments.
Yeah.
I had a few, actually had 3 or 4 Super League fans contact me saying that they'd seen some of my tweets and some of them heard me on the podcast talking about how bad Nofaluma was. Mm-hmm. And they thought that maybe I was over-exaggerating his ability to constantly make the wrong decision defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, why does he run in when he doesn't need to and then stays out when he needs to run in? I went, I told you.
Yeah, yeah. It's literally who he is.
That's all he knows.
Imagine going at Salford and Salford people are like, this guy's bad.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
some people are bad defensively and some people are... defensively, is scared the right word? Or timid? Because I don't know if it's all just bad decisions or whether he's legitimately trying to avoid having to make the physical contact.
I think it's bad decisions. Can you imagine him and Crocker defending? Would they?
I wonder if two wrongs make a right.
Yeah, maybe they'd be lockdown defensive players.
You played there, just no one got through. Probably because the two bad decisions just kept fixing each other's mistake up somehow.
I could see them defending and just sliding so hard that they would head clash each other and just knock each other out before the attackers even got to them.
Oh, that's doable.
Yeah.
That's doable.
Like, how far... can you imagine how hard they would run in? They would run in so fucking hard together that...
they'd be at the play the ball before the play the ball was actually played. Don't ever forget the ball. Look across going, what the fuck are you two doing here?
There'd have to be some new rule brought in to stop them.
The Crokinofaluma rule.
Yeah, man. That'd be so funny watching them defend on the same side.
We should have got that at least once in our lives.
No. How good would that have been?
In Canberra jumpers.
Yeah.
Speaking of, last game of the round, Raiders versus Titans. My God, this could be a bloodbath.
Yeah, if the Raiders play like they did last week, they could score 60.
Yeah. Especially when you look at some of these stats. Mm-hmm. Titans have won 5 of their last 25 games outside of Queensland, conceding 28 points per game.
Yeah.
And all Gold Coast teams combined have won 5 of 21 games played at Raiders home ground since 1988, and all 5 wins by the Titans.
Going from the Gold Coast, nice weather, even in winter. It's starting to get a little colder now, but it'll still be nice in the Gold Coast.
The humidity keeps the cold away.
Yeah, it's yeah. It's
still cozy.
Long walks on the beach on the morning, you go and grab your latte, walk down the beach, can't swim in the ocean because it's too rough on the Gold Coast, but still very nice to watch.
Do a few lines.
We have, yeah.
For breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. That's before you even leave the house. What are you talking about, Andrew? Right. You know.
Do a few lines, have a shower, do a few lines, have some breakfast.
I'll do a bump and then I'll go out and get some coffee.
That's right.
And then you go back, you pack your bag, and then you fly down to fucking Canberra, and it's freezing, and it's cold, and it's raining. And
you step off the plane,
mm-hmm.
and you feel nothing but just ice daggers going straight through your soul.
Yeah, yeah.
A wave of them.
For the first time in months, your testicles suck right up inside your body.
Oh, yeah. They're going in hiding for the next 3 days.
Oh, it's terrible. And then you've got to go over to Bruce Stadium, which is like going back to the 1980s when it was built. You're going and Ricky Stewart's there. Place smells like someone just took a shit, apparently. That's a problem they've got at that stadium at the moment. And you hate life. And then Desi's there. He's got a full thick head of hair.
Swearing at you.
Yeah, he's swearing, he's blowing up at you, and you pull on that fucking teal jersey and you just think to yourself, man.
Is this what my life has become?
This is just the pits.
I've got another hour and a half of this shit to deal with.
And then you think to yourself, you know what, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do it for the blokes beside me. And you turn to the side and one of them's David Fifita and you think, nah, fuck it. Fuck that guy.
And then you turn to the other side and go, who the fuck is that?
Who the fuck is that guy? How about the Gold Coast Titans? David Fifita is off their books. He wants to go to Canberra and they re-sign him. What a bunch of dickheads.
If both these teams play like they have been for the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I'm going with the Raiders to win this one 68-0.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go for that. This Titans team is so bad, even Christopher Skase wouldn't have bought them.
Oh, that's harsh but fair.
Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
They'd have been sitting there in Mallorca saying, no, I'm not being associated with something like the Titans.
No, I'm not even building a stadium there. Fuck them.
No.
He'd have gone and bought Leichhardt Oval instead. Just out of spite.
Oh, man, there's something I want to say about the type of people that want to buy that place, and I can't. It wouldn't be the worst, but I saw people on the weekend saying, why aren't we getting good crowds on the Gold Coast? They've got a nice stadium. It's like, have you seen them play?
Yeah.
Like, why would you go and watch that?
Why? That's exactly the point. Why would you want to go and watch them play? You don't get the same decent performance. Well, yeah, you don't really get that many decent performances, but you don't get the same performance from them 2 weeks in a row. No. They might put in one good performance. You go, oh, maybe they've turned a corner. They're better. Nope, they go back bad again. Never.
They've never turned a corner, hey?
Never. They're just doing what Gold Coast clubs do.
Yep.
And with all the promise, all the effort initially that they put into this club, the more regular appearances in the finals that they had, even going back a few years, there's just so many really dumb decisions that have come behind it in the last few years, and they're just shit.
Yeah.
And look at the run they've got coming up after Canberra. They've got to go and play Manly. Then they've got to go to Auckland against the Warriors. Then they've got Melbourne. Round 10, they've got the Cowboys. And round 11, they've got Newcastle, and that's Magic Weekend. And then after that, they've got Brisbane.
Yeah, that's not a good run. They're going to cop some whippings there. I think the Warriors will just walk through them.
I think Manly will too, and then Melbourne will.
Yeah.
I mean, they're staring at the face now. They've got four very good, when they're on, four very good attacking teams coming up in those next few weeks. Canberra, Manly, Warriors, Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get their defense in order. And that's not something that they've been good at.
No, ever.
I should start a count too on how long it's been since Dez Hasler last won a game as coach.
Oh, yeah, because it's been a while now, hey?
Let me see. Yeah, it's definitely been a while. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. He's lost 13 straight games.
Yeah.
His last win was July 16, 2022.
I mean, if he goes through that run that you called that they've got upcoming and he only wins one of those games, like, he's got to be sacked, right? You can't have that.
Well, I mean, how long did they sign him for?
Well, that's the thing. Why did they sign him?
That is a very good point. I don't think they're going to sack him.
Would you rather Trent Barrett or Dez Hasler? I think I'd rather Hasler.
Yeah, I think Hasler.
Yeah.
Purely because he does have some semblance of an idea about what a club needs to be successful, whereas Trent Barrett only really has an idea about finding the best price on plastic chairs at Bunnings.
Yeah, and eyeliner.
Eyeliner, yeah. He is a very beautiful man.
I'm trying to think of who they could get as a coach. That's the thing about the coaching thing right now. Oh, what about Wayne Bennett next year? He could stay in Queensland.
Or if you're a 74-year-old Wayne Bennett, do you go to the Titans?
He's too old to do coke, so that's a disincentive.
It is.
You know, when you get to a certain age, you can't do coke. It gives out your ticker.
But, I mean, if you've got to choose between the Dolphins and the Titans, and the Dolphins are what they are because of what you've built so far and you're still building it,
yeah.
Do you walk away from that to go to...
I think it's been already organised that... what's his name's going to take over the Dolphins next year?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's probably very true.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm Wayne Bennett, I'd say, you know what, the Titans have issued me an offer to be their head coach. Mm-hmm. I'll take a pay cut, but can I be the water boy for the Dolphins instead? I will also wash all of the jumpers at the end of every week. Help me out here. What can we do? Because I don't think any coach wants to go to that. Let's have a look to the, like, Dez Hasler's run has seen his teams in this run rack up quite a few big scores.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with Manly, round 19, 2022, they lost to the Dragons 20-6. They lost to the Roosters 20-10. Then it starts to get bad. Lost to Parramatta 36-20. Lost to the Titans 44-24. Lost to Cronulla 40-6. Lost to Canberra 48-6. Lost to the Bulldogs 21-20. And then this year, lost to the Dolphins 26-14. Lost to Parramatta 26-16. Lost to St George Illawarra 28-4. Lost to the Dogs 32-0. Lost to the Dolphins 30-14. And lost to the Cowboys 35-22.
That's fucking horrible.
That's atrocious.
That's like West's in the end of the 90s bad.
It's shit. I initially was just looking at the L's column.
Yeah.
When I looked at the points conceded, I was like, oh, that is nasty.
That's horrifying, yeah. Wow.
See what that comes out as an average, because I reckon it's going to be pretty damn high. 386 points. That's 29.7 points per game. Boy, oh boy.
Who could they get as a coach, though? That's the thing.
Well, it seems like Jeff Toobey's not allowed to be a coach anymore, because no one even talks about him anymore.
Yeah, that's a weird one, hey?
Hey, I know. Trademark, who? Walker Brothers.
Would they do worse? They couldn't do worse.
You wouldn't think so.
No. I saw them getting credited in the newspapers for the short kickoffs, and and somebody like forgot to tell whoever wrote that article that basically the rules were changed so that you kind of have to go for a short kickoff now. There's no downside to it.
That's right.
But, yeah.
Okay, let's look at some actual coaches that are out there. Ryan Carr, who was coaching the Dragons at the back end of last year.
No.
Dean Young.
No, definitely not.
We're looking purely at interim coaches from the last few years. Brett White. Luke Burt, Matt King, John Morris. I know he's an assistant coach.
John at Morris? The Tigers. Yeah.
He's assistant coach at the West Tigers at the moment.
Yeah, Josh. John Morris would be a pretty good one.
Ben Hornby, Josh Hannay, Jason Riles. I don't think you'll get him out of... I think he's at the Storm.
Is he still at the Storm?
I think he is as assistant coach. Because remember, they were pushing him to be the coach of the Dragons.
All right.
I
can't believe there was any sort of semblance of nepotism at the Dragons. That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, who didn't see that coming?
Yeah.
Danny Bedaris.
No.
Andrew McFadden.
No.
Trent Barrett. Trent Barrett's there.
No.
Brett Camorley.
I was thinking about Brett Camorley. I wonder if he's still interested in coaching.
Don't know. Stacey Jones.
No, I don't see him leaving the Warriors at the moment.
Michael Maguire.
I don't think he'd take the job.
Craig Hodges, who's filled in as an interim coach twice at the Titans. And he hasn't won a game yet out of 10.
Out of 10? Holy shit. Yeah.
Here's one.
He's probably sick of the fucking place.
Here's one. Nathan Brown.
No. No. We all know how the Nathan Brown thing goes.
Stephen Kearney.
No, he's definitely not.
Jim Dimmick.
Jim Dimmick is due a shot. I'd give Jimmy Dimmick a shot.
Garth Brennan.
Remember? That was the John's Brother classic, that one.
That was that absolute gem.
That was a top shelf John's Brother classic.
Jason Taylor, as you mentioned before. Jeff Toovey, he's only won a paltry 58% of games he's coached. He's done 105.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Dean Pay.
I'd give Dean Pay a go, yeah.
He wouldn't be bad. Also, old mate, what's his name? Mick Potter.
Yeah, Mick Potter would be all right. What about Cameron Serraldo next year? Did you see the tweet that I put up about the conflicting emotions that Phil Gould has when the when the Bulldogs play really badly, he wants to sack the coach and take over. But when they play really well, he wants to sack the coach and take over. And it's just conflicting emotions for him.
It is. It's funny how much he talks up how well things are going and how much he's got his finger on the pulse for that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
Maybe Phil Gould can coach the Titans.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
do it by mobile phone.
Do it by email. Why not?
That'll work.
I'm sure he believes he could do it.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's the other thing, okay? I know you were saying at the top of the episode about how Mal Meninga was approached. I'm not sure that I'd want Mal to be a head coach anymore.
Why's that?
I don't think he's cut out for the week-to-week grind of being a head coach. There's nothing about his time at Canberra as a head coach that said to me, this bloke deserves another chance.
Okay, but think about it, right? Think about it. So he takes over the coaching job at Canberra. And they were in a very weird time. It was the end of an era for them, right? So a lot of their best players were kind of on their way out. They had younger players that played all right, but none of them really hit any great heights. And they weren't terrible.
No, they weren't consistently terrible.
No. Like, it's not like Mal Meninga has a bunch, like, of seasons where you say under Mal Meninga the Canberra Raiders bottomed out. They never bottomed out.
No. But they never really got close to being hugely competitive either.
That's true. But I look at the sides that he had at his disposal back then, and I just think that I just think they were in a
weird... But how much of that is down to him as well? Look,
definitely.
Because he took over during the Super League season in 97.
Yeah.
And they had a pretty solid squad then. But yes, it was aging. But he had a team that was still very strong and still very marketable to you know, future players and stuff like that.
But that team, and the same thing happened to the Manly Seagulls team in the 90s. It was over very, very quickly for that Raiders team.
It was.
Like and it was shockingly quickly. And the same thing happened to Manly too. Remember, like, Manly go from losing a grand final, a classic grand final in 97 to, like, in a couple of years' time, they die. The club dies.
Yeah.
And it was shocking how quick that it happened with them as well.
I'm just looking at the 97 squad. It wasn't actually as old as I thought it was.
But it ended quickly. That's the thing.
It did. Like, Ricky Stewart was the oldest and he was 30.
But he broke his leg from memory. And he was never the same again, right?
Was that when he did his leg, or was that when he had the encephalitis, the brain bleed? Was that 97 or 98? Remember, he had to get airlifted to bloody Sydney.
I feel like
Kerry Packer paid for it.
Because he broke his leg in, was it 96 he broke his leg? And
I think so, yeah. I'm pretty sure he played the whole season in 97.
Yeah, and then he went to the Bulldogs after that. You know?
96 he broke his leg because he only played two games. Yeah. And he played for Canberra in 97 or 98, and then he went to the Dogs in 99.
Yeah, and by the time he went to the Dogs, like, it was well and truly over for him, right? Yeah. And I'm just trying to, like, their forwards, they weren't ever the same as they were in the mid-90s.
Like, no. But I was just going to say, like, they weren't exactly old either. So you had Laurie Daly was 27.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Clyde, Quinton Pongia were 27. David Ferner, 26. Brett Hetherington, David Boyle were 26. Brett Mullins was 25. Ruben Wickie, Jason Croker, Luke DeVico, Ken Nagus, were all 24. Ben Kennedy, 23. Simon Wolford, 22. Luke Prudis, 20.
Yep.
And Todd Payton had just played his first season there, and he was 18. Forwards-wise, they had a good pack there, that, and most of them were about to get better. And they still had good years ahead of them. And
but who of them did get better? That's my point. Like, of all of those dudes at that age, right, Marlins was never as good as he was in the mid-90s. Like, his career kind of petered out.
Oh, right? He came all right when he went to the Roosters.
Yeah, but, like, Roosters Marlins versus fucking 94, 95 Marlins. Oh,
mate, no one touches 94 Marlins.
No.
The only person who comes close is Tom Trbojevic in that, what was it, 2020 or 2021, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was like that, yeah. Yeah.
It was nuts.
There was that season, Jared Hayne, where he at 2009,
Nine, yeah.
The end of that year, yeah, where he took them to the grand final, that sort of form.
Yeah.
So Mullins wasn't the same. Pongia and Lomax weren't the same. They never got better, right? They got worse. Bradley Clyde was never the same after Sean Edwards knocked him out in the 94 Kangaroo Tour. He just
that's true.
A shadow of himself.
Yeah.
Like, just so many of them players. Like, Furno was still pretty good.
Yeah, he was always pretty solid.
Yeah, Laurie Daly was Laurie Daly, but, I mean, his legs were... He always had knee problems and stuff in the late 90s.
He was one of those guys, like, there's a part of the way he played as he got older that reminds me a bit of Benji Marshall as well. Like, he went from being this mostly a center who could cover 5'8" into a ball running 5'8" into a genuinely skilled 5'8" who could control a game.
Mm-hmm.
And Benji Marshall followed a similar thing where his game craft improved so much better with age instead of get worse. So he's able to play within himself and change his role a little bit and still be really, really effective on the field. But yeah, his knees did cause him a bit of drama and slow him up a fair bit, but he was still playing.
He was good
stuff at that time.
Yeah, he was good, but it was like, who would be a good, it was like he could randomly miss weeks and stuff like that. And that's no good for a team's continuity, you know? Like, have a look at Mal Meninga's last team at the Raiders he coached.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, I'll check that out now. But my point was, they had a good young squad there.
Yeah.
And just some smart purchases around that, and you've got enough there to entice some quality players to come around and join that would have been enough to keep them as a regular top four side.
That didn't happen. Yeah, I could see where you could look at that team and their ages and stuff and say, why couldn't you coach this side at this age to a better record? And I would totally agree with that.
So his team in 2001, Jason Croker, 28, not old mate.
No, this was the good one. Yeah, and see, he was still pretty good at the end too.
He was good, yeah, all the way through. Yeah. Luke DiVico, Ken Nagus, both 28. Adam Peters, Greg Wolf, Graham, 27. Anthony Swan, Simon Wolford, Anthony Colella, 26. Odell Manuel, remember that one?
Yeah, I do, actually. That's crazy.
Andrew McFadden, Sean Ruckerson, they were 23.
The South African, the Safa.
Todd Payton was 22. Rod Jensen, Leslie Vainicolo, Mark McClendon, they were all 22. Luke Williamson, 23. Michael Hodgson, Michael Monaghan, Ryan O'Hara, 21. Darren Mapp, Alan Tung, Jamal Alessi, Siani Faumuina, Brett Finch, Joel Managhan, Michael Robinson. The last two were 19 and 18. The rest of them were 20.
So what was their record that year?
They didn't make the finals.
Yep.
Where was it? I think they had 9 wins, was it? They finished 11th and they had, 9 wins, 16 losses.
Okay. And that's, I mean, it's fair to say that's a fair bit of a bludger of a team.
2 wins ahead of the last place Panthers that year.
Oh, you had to bring that up? Man, I struggled through that year. That was a rough one.
Seven games and got the spoon that year, which is... But it was also... Not too often do you get a team win that many games and get the spoon.
True. Go through that Panthers team. Hit me with it. Hit me with it.
This is Royce's season.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go by most number of games. We'll just get the regulars.
Okay.
John Cross, Scott Sattler, Matt Adamson, Chris Hicks, Robbie Beckett, Ned Caddick, Craig Greenhill, Steve Carter, Craig Gower, Ryan Girdler, Frank Pulitua, Matt Rodwell, David Woods, Sid Domick, Jody Gall, Lee Hopkins, Matt Reek, Rhys Wesser, Tony Pulitua, Carl McNamara, Ben Reynolds. They all played 10 games or more.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I continue?
Yeah, go through a few more.
All right. Brett Atkinson, Shane Elford, Luke Rooney, Andrew Hinson, Justin Holbrook, Duncan McGilvray, Luke Lewis played 3 games. He was only 18. Robbie Duffy, Peter Jorgensen, Martin O'Connell, Chris Levy, David McLean, and Fred Peterson.
Yeah. You can say there was a few of them, like, as I said here, that towards the end of that year, they brought in a few of the young dudes to give them a run, and it was like, oh, who's this guy? Oh, who's this guy? But, yeah, that was a rough year, that one. And they were premiers 2 years later.
Their goalkeeping looks like it was pretty garbage that year.
Yeah. Who was good?
Well, you had Hicks and Girdler. But they scored 96 tries and 68 goals.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's rough.
That's pretty nasty.
Yeah, the days when John Cross was signed from a former Illawarra player, pretty handy player, but that was towards the end of his career, and we got him, and it's like, ooh, I'm glad those days are over.
Yeah, he was a back rower, very solid defender, but yeah, that's basically what he was. I think he was 29, going on 30.
Yeah, he'd had a whole career when he got to us. Nothing wrong with him. It was just we got him towards the end, and yeah. Someone's got to finish last, though.
Yeah. Don't I know it.
What if this? You know what? The equivalent would be next year, the West Tigers are premiers.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
How crazy is that, though, when you think about it?
It is. It's insane. It seems
impossible, yeah.
It's, as I said, like, the Tigers are doing everything that I suggested they should do this year, and that is not be too focused or caught up on the wins, draws, losses, whatever else, but on focusing on getting their defense far more competitive. And that's what they've been working on. And it just makes the rest of the game so much easier to get right if teams are finding it hard to score points against you. You don't have to sit there and think, oh, we've got to score 4 tries to get back in the game. You're going, if we score 3 tries, we might be able to get a win here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a change in mindset.
You know what I'm loving about the West Tigers this year is seeing Benji Marshall in press conferences and stuff. And, like, we all think of Benji Marshall as the young dude, and he played this awesome game of footy. It was just awesome to watch and stuff like that. But in these press conferences and stuff, you're seeing the fucking animal inside of him, like the competitive monster that is lurking behind all that and drove all of that. I love it. I could watch Benji Marshall, the coach, like 24/7 because I love that shit.
He is almost frightening. Because you think, as a player, especially in his early days, he was such a like carefree, looked like a bit of a lout, you know.
Yeah.
And then you see him as a coach, and he looks like he's looking for an opportunity to absolutely unload on someone for completely fucking up somewhere. And when you've got a coach who looks like that, you go, I don't think I want to see that.
Yeah, he looks like he's keeping it together because you're not ready for what he wants to tell you. And there's just like you can see that animal in him. And I love those moments where it's that sort of shit's revealed. We see it sometimes in art. Like, you know who was really good at showing that? And I was thinking about this the other day, Wally Lewis. You saw, yes. Like in Origin, you saw that animal out on the field and it was like a force of nature out there. It was like, this guy just wants to beat you so badly, he will do anything to make it happen. And you've seen that in Benji Marshall in these press conferences, and there's just zero give in him. And it's like, oh, I love seeing it. It's fucking great.
Kind of reminds me a little bit to, in a different way, to Todd Payton, in the sense that you don't hear Todd Payton shouting or yelling or getting abusive or whinging and moaning.
Mm.
But you just know that, because he's always pretty calm and softly spoken, but you just know that the quieter he speaks, the more scared you get.
Well, isn't it interesting that, like, you think of Ivan Cleary, right? And Ivan Cleary has never been a boisterous coach. And his results are very, I mean, just take the Panther stuff out of it. Everyone who's at the Warriors, the results were fucking fantastic. But then you look at Craig Bellamy, who goes off his head, and that works too. And then you get Wayne Bennett, who sort of is a bit, you know, laconic with the way he talks.
And absolutely.
It, you know, if it works, it works. But yeah, I love seeing that coming out of Benji Marshall. I love that shit.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Watch that all day.
Yeah, yeah.
You watch a highlights package of him as a player, and then you watch the highlights footage of him just doing press conferences. You're like, how is this the same human?
Yeah, I love seeing that sort of stuff in sport.
Absolutely.
The one I really love, if you go online and on YouTube and look up his peers talking about him, and it's Larry Bird, because Larry Bird was put out in the NBA. The marketing was like, oh, he's this guy, and he's, you know, this kid from the country, and look at how well he's going and stuff. And all of the players that played said he was the worst trash talker of anybody ever, and it wasn't even close. And he would just say just the worst shit to you and dress you down, and it never stopped. He was just the worst. And they would say how, like, all the marketing for Larry Bird was different. And then they'd play against him, and he was just dressing everyone down and, you know, telling them how bad they were, and they couldn't guard him. And he'd tell players, like, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to shoot a three-pointer from here, and you're going to try and come out on me, but you're not going to get there. I'm just going to let you know. And then he'd do it. And, yeah, even the best trash talkers, like Gary Payton, even talks about Larry Bird. And it just, as I love that shit.
Oh, yeah, it's Larry Bird was a freak.
Especially
when you looked at him, he looked so uncoordinated out there.
But, you know, he kind of was like, when you watch Darren Lockyer play footy, and Darren Lockyer was coordinated, like he looked like an athlete, but Darren Lockyer could look like he was playing footy slow, and he would break through the team and score. And it's like, but he looked like he was playing slow. And I think Larry Bird was a bit like that, in that he looked like he was playing slow, but he did everything quicker than everyone else. And those sorts of players.
I was going to say, he reminds me a bit style-wise of the first time you watch someone like Steve Smith batting when he was at his peak, because it doesn't quite look right, but at the same time, it gets results better than anybody else, so you can't fault it. But something about it doesn't look right. Like, you see some highlights of Larry Bird, and sometimes he does a fadeaway jumper, but he actually doesn't really get off the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just falling backwards, and it just goes in.
And it you can't argue with the results, you know?
No, that's right. It's the adaptability to the situation on the fly is what made him phenomenal. You know, not known for being a three-point shooter either. You could sink him when he needed to.
Yeah.
And when you needed him to was
when he got him.
He handed the ball, and he nailed him.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal, man. Just there's just one of those once-in-a-generation players.
Yeah. Well, and look, the NBA was lucky. They got him and Magic Johnson come in at the same time, and they just played off each other. They played off each other in college, and then they go to the NBA. One goes to the Lakers, one goes to the Celtics, and, you know, the NBA is often racing in the 80s. And then a young dude from fucking North Carolina comes in. He was pretty good too. Yeah, it was interesting. I love the other one that's kind of like you wouldn't expect him to be a monster is Isaiah Thomas, the first one from the Pistons.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's quietly spoken and stuff like that, and he was a monster. A fucking monster.
Yeah.
Two straight championships. Ugh, I love those sorts of players.
You know, we'll go to another sport, talking about absolute monsters.
Mm-hmm.
As in just ice cold.
Yeah.
Kimi Räikkönen.
He was different.
Yeah.
Shut up. Shut up. I always think about that. When his team would tell him he needs to go quicker or someone's 10 seconds behind him and closing him and he'd just go, shut up.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Don't talk to me. I know what I'm doing.
I love fucking Kimi Räikkönen, man.
There's that really funny clip where they go through some of the drives and team principles and they'll say, like, you know, your whole focus has got to be on Formula One and, oh, it's my dream. I've always wanted to do this and to be at the pinnacle and stuff. And then Kimi's like, it's just a hobby for me. I could do something else if I wanted to.
the competitive spirit in him, it just never, ever waned. Phenomenal driver, man. Fucking, I love fucking Kimi Räikkönen, man. He's insane.
Yeah. I was watching it come up on my feed, some of the highlights of Michael Schumacher, like that. They had the highlights of, I think it was Spain in 96 when it was pissing down in rain and Schumacher had just gone to Ferrari and that Ferrari was a pig of a car.
It was.
And it was a fucking, it didn't even look like a modern fucking Formula One car. And he drove around everyone in the rain and just showed like he was the best. And I watched the race highlights for that and a few other ones. I watched the one 98 at Spa where they had that really bad crash at the start.
Yes.
And you know, I remember watching that. I was horrified by that crash. It was terrible. I thought someone had died for sure. Coulthard crashes. Smashes his car, gets a new car. They restart the race. He crashes again, right? And then manages to fucking slow down in the rain on the driving line and Schumacher hits him while he's being lapped because he wouldn't get out the fucking way. Like, wasn't Coulthard just such a great driver? Fucking idiot.
The best part about that was... Schumacher then went back to the end of the pits. He's storming down and people are trying to pull him off. He's like, don't fucking touch me, man.
Yeah.
He's fucking pushing people away as he gets in there.
It's just incredible. Crazy. That was an incredible race. But yeah, I've been watching like some of those races and I think Damon Hill ended up winning that race in a Jordan.
Yes.
And then I watched the one where Panis won at Monaco. Where basically everyone else crashed.
As is Monaco.
Yeah, in the rain, everyone crashed. At one point, Eddie Irvine reversed his car into the fucking...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I think it was Alesi come around to the corner and he sees a fucking car reverse and can't stop, smashes into the back, and then Häkkinen smashed into the back of him, and Häkkinen was filthy. But yeah, all of those old moments in Formula One, I was watching them and like remembering watching them as good to us, good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, we've gone in a bit of a circle there, a bit of a wander.
Now we've got a few emails. What we might do is we might do a podcast on the weekend. Hey, a quick one to do the emails.
Yeah, sure.
What do you reckon? We got two from Arwen, our friend Arwen, who's in the Hall of Fame.
He's done some more articles for us, has he?
He's got two more articles for us.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to do that in another episode.
And Lightning McQueenbian has sent us one as well.
Oh, old mate.
Yeah. So we haven't forgotten your emails, and we'll start our next episode, which we'll record an extra episode on the weekend and do those. We'll start with those, and then we'll talk some more rugby league and Formula One and basketball.
And whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
We're all-rounders, and, you know, we can't help it. It's just how we are.
We get to this point and we go, hang on, did we stop recording before or are we still just doing our normal chat or what's going on?
We've still got – what we do is normally we stop recording and then we have another hour and a half of looking up the most fucking obscure stats that anybody's looked up.
Exactly. So that's what we've got before us now.
Yeah, we'll look up the career stats of Royston Lightning or someone like that.
That's right. I will keep that just for us.
Yeah.
You don't get that. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Make sure you check us out on all the socials, like, subscribe, follow, all sort of stuff. Share us around. That'd be great. And we'll catch us all next time.